Well, hello, folks, and welcome to another edition of My Car Guru. Today, we are going to be answering the question, do I buy or do I lease? I get that fairly often. You know, leasing really isn't that big around here unless you're buying like BMWs and what else? Lexuses, maybe Infinities, higher-end cars. A lot of people lease. A lot of people that have money like to lease because they like to get a new car every 2 or 3 years. And they get lower monthly payments, and they don't have to take cash out of their investment accounts. So that's why you see some leasing. A lot of it done in like on the West Coast and the East Coast, bigger cities, but not so much in rural America. So anyway, I thought we would go over because I think in many cases leasing is a good choice, and I'm going to explain when you should and when you shouldn't lease. Another question I got the other day was, Lenny, I need a good car for my graduating grandchild, and my budget is $5,000. I said, well, you just knocked yourself out of the market because there is no good $5,000 car anymore. I remember I bought a dealership, a new car dealership. Matter of fact, it's the one I'm sitting in right now, the Gateway Ford. It used to be called Don Smith Ford. Some of you from this area may remember Don Smith. Great guy. He's still around. Wonderful person. Love Don Smith to death. But he bought it from, well, I can't remember who he bought it from. But when I first moved to Greenville, it was called Town Gate Ford. And I just felt like I wanted to incorporate the gate into the name. Well, we had a naming contest. We put it in the Greenville Sun. A bunch of people, you know, gave us what they thought the name of the new dealership would be. I thought that would be fun. And one guy said Gateway, and he won. But I'd already picked the name, so I didn't mean to burst his bubble. That was my idea. But anyway, when I bought this dealership, they had 3 used car lots in 3 different locations. One was up, you know, probably 30 miles from Greenville, where we live, and two were in this town. So back then, you could get a decent used car, something that would run and give you a few years of good service for about $1,500 to $2,000. It was back in the 2005. So that was a long time ago. Doesn't seem like a long time ago, but it is. And so things have changed. Inflation is one of them. There's been a scarcity. Do you remember when the cash for clunkers thing came around? Well, that wiped out a whole lot of $5,000 cars and $1,500 cars. People were turning in their clunkers, and the government was taking them and crushing them. And so do you even remember that program? That was a crazy deal. But it helped maybe stimulate the economy some. I don't know. We sold a lot of cars because of it. We crushed a lot of them too. Well, what did that do to the $1,500 and $2,500 car? Eliminated them. So immediately prices went up. Today, that's been a lot of years. It's 2023. And if you don't spend $8,000 to $10,000, then you're not getting a reliable car. So I broke the news to him, and he said, well, I have to go into my other cookie jar. But, you know, one alternative would be to maybe lease a car for that youngster. You got to be careful with that. I definitely wouldn't do it. If they're going to college, yeah, I'd lease a car for them. If they're going to high school, buy them something that they're not proud of. I've talked about that a lot. Don't give them what they want. You know, if they want a brand new Mustang, even though they've been really good, don't buy it for them. Buy them a car that is just a little bit, you know, when they drive, they want to park it at the far end of the parking lot. They don't want people to really see it. Then you don't have to worry about them hauling their friends around all over the place because they want to show off in the new car. It's just a random suggestion. But let's dive into leasing here just a little bit. Why would you want to lease a car? A lot of people think it's like renting a car, but it's not. You're not renting it. Leasing, the main advantage is lower payments, or you can get more car for the same payment. Because the way a lease is calculated is you have the MSRP, or the sale price of the vehicle. They call that the capitalized cost. You subtract from that what the book says. There is this book called the Retail Lease Guide. And it tells you what that vehicle, what the residual value is going to be after 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever the term of the lease is. It's an estimate. You know, these companies use all of these crazy calculations to figure out what these things are going to be worth down the road. And it's a, you know, it's a gamble. It's a gamble on their part. So you take the selling price or the capitalized cost, subtract the residual value, and you have a difference there. And you divide that by the term. So the term, let's say the term's 48 months on the lease. Then you just take that number, divide it by 48, and that's part of what your monthly payment is. That's component number one. Component number two is the money factor. And what that really means is that's the interest rate that it's based on. So if they say the money factor is 0.00025, then you take that number by, or multiply that number by 24, and that'll closely approximate the interest rate that you're paying. So the important thing to ask somebody when you're leasing a car is, what is the residual value? What is the money factor? And what is the capitalized cost? What are they selling the car for to the lease company? Now, this is where a lot of dealers play games, okay? So let's say you go in to buy a car and they quote you monthly payments. Oh, that's a little bit too high. And so they've got it. Those payments are based on a particular sales price, right? Well, they say, well, would you like to look at a lease, Mr. Johnson? And Mr. Johnson said, yeah, I guess I'll look at a lease if it's less. So they figure a lease payment. What some dealers do is they jack up the sales price when they push it over to a lease, because quite frankly, they don't have to disclose to you what the sales price is. So the question that you ask when they move it to a lease and they quote you a payment is this. Are you using the same selling price that you gave me as the capitalized cost? Oh, they're going to look at you and said, how do you know that? I listened to My Car Guru. That's how I know that. So watch out for that. So what else? Lower payments are a good reason, you know, to lease a car. As I said, you can get more car for the same payment as the price they quoted you. I mean, you can imagine if you take, let's say a vehicle has a residual value of 40% of MSRP after 4 years. So you just multiply 0.40 times the selling price of the vehicle or the capitalized cost, and that tells you what the residual value will be. The difference is called the depreciation, and that's what you pay your monthly payments on. So if they jack up the sales price without telling you, then the depreciation is going to be more because the residual value is based on the MSRP of the vehicle. So they'll take 40% times the MSRP, and then you just divide it by, you know, 48 months. Now, the residual value is going to be higher on 24 months than it is on 48 months, right? Because it won't have depreciated as much. So the residual value for 24 months may be 65%. So what else is important to know about the residual value? Well, that's what you can buy it for at the end of the lease. Well, why would you want to do that? Well, you do your research. You call the guru and say, hey, Lanny, I've got a vehicle that I lease for 24 months, and the lease expires in 3 months, and my residual value is $24,000. Should I buy that car out and continue to drive it, or should I just lease another one? See, that's the kind of question that I just love to get, because I can answer it very precisely. And the answer is always different. I mean, it depends on what the actual value of that vehicle is on the market. So what if the residual value was $24,000 and you call Lenny and he says, well, that car's really worth about $26,000. Maybe you should buy it, but you also have to keep in mind, you haven't paid sales tax on the full purchase price of that vehicle. That's another one of the advantages of leasing. You only pay sales tax on each monthly payment. You don't pay sales tax on the whole car. You only pay sales tax on the whole car if you turn around and buy it at the end of the lease. So why would you want to buy it? Well, because it's worth more, or because you really like it. And you just go, I'll just go ahead and finance the balance, or I'll just pay off the balance. I've got enough money to pay it off. Then you do that. Okay, so let's take a quick breather, and I'll be back in just 1 minute. Okay, I am back. A few more things about leasing. We didn't talk about the downside. What if the residual value is far greater than what it's actually worth now? Do you want to buy it? No. You want that to go back to the leasing company. And they don't want it. They'd rather you buy it because they have to take it to the auction and where they will lose money on it. But do you have any liability with regard to that? Heck no. That's on them. So you can jump right into another lease car. So the disadvantage, if you're going to do that, is that you're always going to have a monthly payment. Now, some people don't want that, don't want a monthly payment. They have something called a single payment lease option, where if you're a cash buyer and you've got plenty of liquidity and you go in and you want to lease a vehicle, that you can make one payment up front and it'll be discounted and you can drive that car for 3 years without making any more payments. And it's not, and you're not paying sales tax on the whole purchase price of the car. I mean, that's a wonderful thing right there. Let's say it's a $100,000 car and you're in a place like Tennessee where it's, you know, seven and three quarters percent interest. I mean, that's almost $8,000 in sales tax you're going to pay, but not if you lease it. You only pay sales tax on the amount that it's going to depreciate plus the money factor. And, you know, that could be, I don't know, depending on the term of the lease, it could be $30,000, $40,000. That's all you're paying sales tax on. So that's a great thing. I like that idea. What I don't like is that the miles are limited on a lease. I mean, you can drive as many miles as you want to. You just have to pay for them. Most leases are based on anywhere from 12,000 to 15,000 miles per year. So if you drive 25,000, 30,000 miles per year, leasing is not for you. You're better off to buy the vehicle. But if you drive, you know, 10,000 miles a year, leasing is a great alternative because it's much cheaper in the long run. And if you buy from a dealer that has a complimentary maintenance, you know, like for 2 years, like we do, then you're not really going to be paying for any maintenance. It's going to be under warranty the whole time. And so you don't have to worry about any of those extra costs. Insurance is a little bit more on a lease vehicle than it is on a purchase, just so you know. But that is, it's marginal. It's not that much more. So why would you want to buy a car as opposed to leasing it? Well, because you like to keep cars a long time. You like to buy them and wear them out. According to Dave Ramsey, you know, the financial guru, he says that that's the best thing to do. If you buy a new car, wear it out. You know, drive it for 10 years, 12 years, as long as it lasts. When it dies, go buy a new one. So, but that's just not reality. You know, technology changes. I like to take advantage of the modern conveniences and also the advances in safety. I mean, my F-150, it drove me to Johnson City the other day. Yep. I just took my hands off the steering wheel and it did it all. Well, I still had to pay attention, but you know that you can't get that on a car that's 10 years old. But if you do drive a lot of miles, if you traditionally beat up a vehicle, let's say you're thinking about leasing a truck but use it in construction, don't, because you will get hammered when you turn that thing in. That's another disadvantage of leasing is if you don't properly maintain your vehicle, if you don't take, you know, if you get a bunch of dents and dings and scrapes and bruises and busted windshield and worn out tires, if you turn that in, they're going to have an independent third party inspect that vehicle, and then they're going to send you a bill for everything that it costs to fix that vehicle. So leasing is more for people who, you know, will take care of things. And if, you know, if you get a scratch or you get a dent, you get it fixed. You know, if you turn in a lease vehicle and the tires are worn out, they're going to charge you for new tires. So you got to think about that as well. So what kind of cars would you want to look at as far as a potential lease? Folks, quite frankly, no matter what I'm buying, I'm going to ask them, can you give me a purchase payment and a lease payment? Remember what you're going to say, though. Make sure that the selling price is the same as the capitalized cost on the lease. I'm going to want to see all the numbers. If you say that, then they won't play games with you, because they really can't. Now, can you, let's say if you buy, you lease a vehicle, and let's, you drive it for 3 years, and you're kind of tired of it after 1 year. Can you get out of it? Not very easily. It's going to cost you some money. Can you trade in a car that's leased? No, because you don't own it. The lease company owns it. Now, if you pay it off, you're going to have to pay sales tax on the, on whatever the payoff price is. And then you own it, and then you can trade it. But you can't trade something that you don't own. So if you don't drive a lot of miles and you take care of your vehicles and you like to trade every 2 to 3 years, then consider leasing. I think it makes sense, especially in a depreciating, which is rapidly approaching us. It's not totally here yet. Used car values have fallen about 20%, but they've also gone up. You know, last 2 years, they've gone up like 70%. So we're still doing pretty good. If you're thinking about trading, now's a good time to do it. Should you trade a vehicle in on a lease? Let's say that you own a vehicle and the actual value of that vehicle is, I don't know, $20,000, and you want to lease a car. Can you take that money, that value, and apply it to the lease? Yeah, you can up to a point. If it's valued too much, then the lease company won't do it because there's no way for them to make money. if you just pay all that money down. What I would do if you want to try leasing and you've got a $20,000 trade, I'd get my $20,000 and go do something else with it. You know, you can, if you have a lot of credit card debt, or if you have, you want to put it on your house, or you want to go on a European vacation or something, you can do that with that $20,000. Just stick it in the bank. You could do that. But on leasing, I just don't recommend paying much down at all on a lease. If it takes a lot of money down to get it down to a reasonable payment, then maybe you need to look at buying a vehicle and just stretching out the term. I just really have a problem with financing a car 84 months. Even 72 months is a long time. But 84 and 96, and, you know, it's just getting ridiculous how long people are having to finance cars. But it's because they're so expensive. So, and that's another justification for leasing, a really expensive car. And remember, you're only paying for the amount that it depreciates plus the cost of money, which is the interest rate. So, you know, if it's a $115,000 car and after 2 years it only depreciates to $80,000, then you're only paying for the part that you use, the depreciation. So that's one way to get a really low payment. Can you imagine what a car payment would be on 60 months, at a $100,000 car for 60 months? At today's rates of like 6.5-7%, it would be brutal. So it really does no harm to have them calculate a lease, just for curiosity's sake. I mean, you don't have to do it, and you can go home and think about it, you know, and just do a cash flow analysis, see which one works better. I have seen so many people react negatively if you even mention the word lease. It's not like they're going to make you do it, but sometimes it is an attractive option. Okay. All right. I'm going to take my last break and I'll be back here in just a minute. Okay. I am back. If you're looking at an electric car, an EV, you know, a lot of dealers are selling them now. We sell a few. I mean, we don't sell that many. We can't get them. The F-150 Lightning, I had one ordered and it got delayed because of some battery fire that they had. And they've basically shut down the plant for 5 weeks trying to figure out what the cause of that was. So do you purchase or do you lease an electric vehicle? Lease it. Don't buy an electric vehicle, because nobody knows how those things are going to depreciate. Nobody knows how quickly the battery technology is going to improve. You know, so what if next year General Motors comes out with this long-range Ultium battery that'll charge in 6 minutes? I mean, the technology is really rapidly changing. So if that were to happen, what do you think it would do to the value of your car that takes, you know, 8 hours to charge on a 220 outlet and you have a range of 300 miles? It's not going to be pretty. So I would recommend that you lease an electric vehicle, any kind of really high-tech kind of thing like that, because it moves so quickly as far as the market is concerned, and it can go down quickly as well. You know, Ford is putting a lot of pressure on their dealers to get these super-fast chargers installed at the dealership. I've got until January 1, 2024 to get my supercharger installed. That's level three. Direct current charger. It's 120 kilowatts up to 240 kilowatts. I don't know what it means. All I know is that it will charge an electric vehicle in about anywhere from 40 minutes to an hour, which is pretty fast compared to when you charge it at your house on a 110 outlet. It's about 4 days. So we have to install one in order to be able to sell these things. They wouldn't let us sell them unless we installed at least two ports on a DC charger, and then we have to install 5 more level 2 chargers. And they were all it'd be like pulling up to a gas pump, and you'll be able to scan your credit card and fill up with electricity. That's the way it's going to work. See, that's what we're in store for. If all of these politicians, not all of them, it's mostly on the left side of the aisle, if they get their way, then, you know, we'll all be driving electric vehicles. I don't know when that's going to happen. It certainly isn't going to happen until the infrastructure is built out. But, you know, the manufacturers are really pushing it, and so are the legislators. They want us to be driving electric vehicles so that we don't destroy our environment any more than we have already. You know, where's the power come from? coal burning and natural gas burning power plants. That's where it comes from. And plus, what about the rolling outages that they have out in California right now? All these people switch to electric vehicles, and they're required to by the year 2030. Nobody's going to be able to no manufacturer is going to be able to sell a gasoline-powered car in California beyond 2030. And they can't even keep the lights on now. And unfortunately, New York and I think Virginia even have adopted the same standards and requirements as the state of California. What is wrong with those people? Because I can tell you, based on what I'm seeing, there's little to no interest in people about electric vehicles. There is a curiosity about electric vehicles, and they want to come and test drive them. And we've sold a few. I mean, and the people that we've sold them to love them. Oh, they're just, you know, they're the heroes of the neighborhood. And they enjoy the process, and they're early adopters. You know, I'm an early adopter. I'll admit it. You know, when the Apple Watch comes out, I got to have one. New iPhone, got to have it. So, but I'm not on the electric bandwagon. It's going to cost us a fortune, you know, to put in these chargers. And I can just see them sitting out there just collecting bird poop. Can you say that on the air? Well, I guess I just did. But I guess that's just one thing that we'll all face together. I had somebody tell me today, said, Lenny, what do you think is going to happen to car dealers? I was talking to a guy one time. He says pretty much car dealers are dinosaurs, and they are going to be probably gone within 10 years. There'll just be service centers. I said, well, your friend is badly mistaken. The internal combustion engine is here to stay, and it's not going away, especially in this part of the country. Electric vehicles, I bet you, won't in 20 years, they won't be 15% of the market. Around here, you've just got too many people that just they're not buying it, and I'll sell them. Like I say, I'm a Ford dealer, I'm a Nissan dealer. They want us to sell electric vehicles. They're all fired up about them, and if you know, and I like being a Ford dealer, and I love being a Nissan dealer, so I will participate. But it doesn't mean I have to like it. Okay, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and I'll see you next time.